Welcome to the part 2 of the second episode of That's What She Said with Cheddar and Bree.
This is the show where we talk about things that we have read, watched and lived. Happy listening!
In the last episode, we talked about how our brains work and how we see things on social media because of our cognitive biases. And also the role of dopamine in keeping us scrolling.
Stop saying dopamine.
I'll try.
So you ended on the note that talking about ourselves make us feel good and validated.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Like, okay. So now see, we all seek validation. It might sound like it's a bad thing, but it's not. Actually, seeking validation turns out to be ugly only when we forget to balance our own recognition and, you know, the external validation and the internal validation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only obvious that we can't go on living our lives without having any form of approval from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a feedback system, you know, that goes both ways. So the need for validation comes naturally to us, and there is no point denying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as we grow into people with complex ideas and emotions and thoughts, we start developing our individual identities, and that can be different than people around us. We aren't always lucky enough, not everyone at least, to have that form of recognition or validation or acceptance for each and every thought that we have. So, like, here enters the social media, like Instagram, basically. So what it does is it opens a door for us and makes us a part of a global community.
For sure. And on social media, we see these things. Great fandoms are created around shows and books, and there are cat enthusiasts. They have their own community. There are such a lot of such online communities in existence.
Yeah, so, you know, now people have a larger space to express themselves, which also comes with a large number of people giving you their opinions and approval. And it can be scary sometimes, but, you know, communities like LGBTQ have found a safe space and support system between the hashtags and comments of Instagram. So this kind of validation actually boosts our self-esteem and paves the way to self-acceptance. It's so wonderful to see, you know, actually, like, these socio-political mm-hmm. movements that are taking place on this platform. Our digital lives are a lot different than our non-digital ones. So when we are perceiving people and events around us, we mostly do it in the three-dimensional way that it is in reality.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about Instagram. Here, this part actually gets trickier. So because, you know, it's not the same online, like, it's not a three-dimensional world.
Yeah. I would like to interject a bit here. So what you said, I would just how digital and non-digital interactions differ. Like, when we are interacting face-to-face, we rely on a lot of non-verbal cues, like our expressions, tone of voices, eye contact, posture, gestures, timing of saying things, intensity of saying things, how the responses are given. And our brains learn to identify and react to them. And this creates emotional responses that we have. This gives us a feeling, a texture of the life that we are living. But on social media, since we are only relying on the written text mostly, so that creates a very surface level experience of living your life.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when we start feeling that every post in our feed is so relatable AF, that's because it's actually targeted towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon we start processing them like facts, and because it's comfortable, and forget that they are just opinions. like opinions that happen to coincide with ours and nothing more than that. So then while all of this is going on, if we come across a post that doesn't validate us, we will be questioning ourselves because our brain has developed a habit of believing those posts as truths. Like, okay, so if I'm a skinny person and my sense of self-acceptance comes solely from the quotes I read on Instagram, then in this scenario, I'm more likely to feel bad when I read posts like, chubby girls are the cutest. The way it gives, it can also take away. So what these kind of posts, the example I just gave, what these do is cater a large number of demography on the cost of alienating others.
Yeah, so basically they are breaking stereotypes by making stereotypes, by making new ones. A while ago, I was so I'm very insecure about a lot of things, but I'm also very insecure about my appearance. So I was talking to this friend of mine, and I was expressing that how insecure my skinniness makes me feel. And my friend, who meant well, who had good intentions, obviously, told me that it's cool. People prefer skinny people anyway. Like,
See
boys like skinny people anyway. Skinny girls anyway.
that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's
So.
exactly like we all have came across such posts that are that kind of validate our differences that or like an insecurity that we have, but
Yeah,
the there is the other side.
I remember coming across a post like this in the past. I don't exactly remember how it went, but real only dogs go after bones. Real men prefer something. It went something like that. So okay,
Real men like curves.
exactly. So it's how are you trying to make somebody feel good about themselves when in process you're trying to make somebody else feel bad about themselves?
The whole idea of feeling of making others feel good is based on the
Tearing
theory
somebody
of
else
othering.
down.
Exactly. That can never be good. Just as yesterday I saw this ad on Insta. It was by some bank. It had this really eye appealing picture of Irfan Khan massaging Radhika Madan's head.
It
So
was a great movie. I actually watched
that
it after Irfan Khan said I'd been planning to watch it for a long time, but I never got around to it. And then suddenly we heard that Irfan Khan died, and that actually prompted me to go and watch the movie. And it was a great movie. I loved it.
So yeah, it was a scene from that movie, and that was a lovely scene. Like, I like Radhika Madan, I like Irfan Khan, and so what I was saying is what got my attention was the tagline of that ad. It said, "Motherhood isn't just for women." At first it looks like a progressive statement when that's defying gender roles, but if you stop and think about it, it's basically feeding our brain an idea that caring for your child, or in this case by massaging their head, is the role of a mother.
Yeah, because it uses the word motherhood.
Exactly. And that's nowhere. What are you what the What's the message you are trying to give?
Exactly. I'm
That
sure they
taking care
meant
of.
well.
Of course they meant well. That's the whole problem, that they mean well and they don't come out as well. That's the whole problem. What I feel is that such statements are so solid that they start defining and redefining personalities and roles
Because
without
it's really
taking.
hard to counter them, like well-intentioned things.
Even now when we are talking, you are like saying that they meant well. Of course they did, but we have to take that in account, and in that process, like somewhere our the whole idea, whole a counter argument gets lost.
In
Like,
regards to that specific post, we know that with changing times, we are having more and more nuclear families and more women in workplace, and taking care of children should, and it is becoming a shared responsibility. So a better statement would be parenthood is not just for mothers, it's for both the
Yeah,
parents.
exactly. I wish it said that. It would have been much more,
Yeah.
strong and right. Anyways, so what these posts actually do is they don't take in account the individuality of a person,
Yeah.
and just keep defining and redefining things. We all have been guilty of trying to understand what true love is. Okay, I just did air quotes.
Oh
So, through what we like, true love looks like this, true love looks like that. So, we
Yeah.
all have been guilty. And I hope we all have been guilty.
I know
It's
I
not
have.
okay. That's me. That feels good. So, like, what they're basically doing is the same thing that movies have been doing since these many years. The difference is that those movies provide a context that cushions the definition, but these quotes and these posts we read on Instagram, they don't do that.
Plus, they're much
And
more personal. You see a post that says, if somebody considers you important, then they will find time out for you no matter what. They will text you back no what matter what. So,
yeah.
why?
They might feel personal, but they
Yeah,
aren't. Like,
exactly.
they
Every
don't know
relationship
us.
is unique.
Yeah, see, now the same post can be applied on, a toxic relation or a one-sided relation where people should get out, but there might be some reason, and people actually, I think people actually go on and have fights and arguments because of, because getting so influenced by these posts. And like the definitions they create for us, we are more likely to, create a set of standards based on them.
And earlier you mentioned the thing about movies that it reminded me of a similar but a separate thing. But we can talk about that later. I just let's just put a pin in that and you can continue.
Okay. So, yeah, I was saying that we create our own set of standards based on the definitions they give us, like those posts give us. So, the moment we feel we aren't up to those standards, we get a feeling of inadequacy. And that's basically a loop because, that takes us back to the point we started, that is seeking validations in those exact posts. And, this is kind of loop we get caught in. Ultimately, it's not our experiences with others that are shaping our thoughts and regulating our growth, but it's our Instagram feed that is doing it for us.
So, what I was gonna say earlier in with reference to Bollywood was, you know how we have all these Instagram photos and videos of like supermodels. So it's not like we were not already attracted to unattainable beauty standards. Bollywood and Hollywood had already set them for us. Like people would look at actors and actresses and think, oh my God, she's so beautiful. I could never be that beautiful. But there was still a sort of distance between us and a movie star. So even though we felt bad for not looking as good as, say, Madhubala or Marilyn Monroe, we still knew that okay, they are movie stars. That's their job, and it's not our job. And this is, you know, we understood that fact. But now on Instagram, you see these people who are seemingly common folk, you know, normal, and they look so unattainably pretty. And we need to talk about the nature of posts as well, you know, as you mentioned earlier that, you know, catering to a particular demographic while alienating the other, being exclusive in the name of being inclusive.
Exactly.
And you start feeling inadequate, the feelings of inadequacy that you mentioned. Marketing strategies used to, and they still work this way, they would make you feel like you lack something, so you would go and seek it. And the way posts work and the way they are presented, like in the previous episode, we talked about the cognitive ease and induced truth effect and et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of Instagram posts are presented as fun fact or psychological fact. Psychology says that people who smile the most are the most saddest.
Yeah, psychology thing.
There is no empirical way of proving that, is there? But even things that are presented as scientific facts are often false. And we are bombarded with such information. Like, you have so many posts saying so many different things, and you can't go and fact check every single thing that you see on the internet. And it becomes harder and harder to separate fact from fiction and from truth from opinion. And it only gets complicated when we talk about complex ideas like love, acceptance, or mental health.
It might feel like the safest space to talk about such issues or such topics because we don't have to feel vulnerable in front of others in order to feel validated or accepted. But I guess I feel vulnerability itself is an important aspect for growth and acceptance. Like, it is the key to connect with others. The content creator might feel or seem empathetic towards us, but there is a whole lot of us on an individual level that they have no clue about. Sharing, and that's why, sharing our originality with our families and peers, that's always going to be more fulfilling because that's the kind of support system where we can embrace our vulnerabilities. And bottling up our emotion and just validating them through Instagram posts not only harms our mental well-being, but also prevents us from being open to change. Because, our feelings are getting validated as they are, feelings and our thoughts. We aren't even questioning them. Leave alone the scope for others to criticize them.
Yeah, we tend to end up with quite a lot of problematic things because, they're getting accepted. It's okay to feel this. It's quite okay to feel that. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. And every once in a while, something that is actually not okay becomes validated in the process.
And no matter how much of an isolated person we think we are, the truth is that we are always gonna remain a part of the society. Like, we actually need to keep our thoughts and emotions, like, not emotions, but thoughts in check. I don't mean it in a way that we ought to feel what the society expects us to, or we ought to think what the society expects us to. But we need to take in account that these online communities can end up validating each and every thought that we have.
Yeah, and some of our thoughts might not be as good or as helpful to us or the
Yeah,
others.
exactly. And thoughts and feelings are not the same. Feelings come and go, and it's okay to be comfortable with them, but thoughts are something we have a hold over. And the healthy way of living should be knowing the difference between the positive and the negative impact are those thoughts gonna have on us and people around us. So in this order, a lot of problematic and harmful behavior gets validated too. And you can find a lot of such posts and comments where people play therapist. They are coming you even though they are coming from a harmless place, but with a harmless intent. But when we do such a thing, we kind of glorify serious issues that may or may not need professional help on the name of self-acceptance.
Yeah, not just that. Even other problematic behavior, like previously movies have been guilty of it, you know, showing stalking as something romantic or, you know, other problematic things. We see posts that say, if my man doesn't pay on the first date, he's not going to get a second date.
Yeah.
Or I cannot think of any other example, but, you know, there was this post that circled around a lot, like, my grandfather used to follow my grandmother and, you know, stand for her every day. Yeah, so it went something like that. And, you know, such things. And how romantic was that? Oh, hearts, hearts, hearts. But in present day and age, I don't think the same exact situation would be romantic for every single person on the earth.
Yeah. The times change and people change, but no such things like, they keep coming back to us and we keep seeing them and we kind of start creating our own opinions and own ideas based on.
And it can actually take a very dangerous form sometimes. Like a while back, I came across this mention of a Reddit post where it was, you know, I have a very vague idea of how Reddit works. So there was this Reddit community or subreddit, as you call it. I'm not sure.
Subreddit.
Where people talked about the jealousy issues they had with regards to the people they were dating. So this girl posted that she had this extreme sense of insecurity and jealousy. And, you know, it sounded very, you know, terrifying. Like she had thoughts of killing any girl who would ever come near or talk to her boyfriend, and she had thoughts of trapping her boyfriend inside a house so only she could get to talk to him. And you know, many there was a list of such things, and each one worse than the previous one. And the girl even mentions that she knows it's not okay to feel this way, and she knows that she needs professional help. And that actually made me feel good. Like, you know, okay, so you know you do need professional help. That's good. But then you see, like, there's a comment on that says, it's okay. I feel the same way about my boyfriend too. It's okay to feel that way about somebody you love.
Now see, like, you are not qualified to say something like that.
Yeah.
People don't understand this. Like, we all have gone through, you know, some troubles in our lives, and we all have some kind of issues.
Yeah.
But if we keep on getting it validated with strangers online, from strangers online, it's gonna do us no good. And as I talked in the last part, that it is a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
So these posts basically are selling themselves to our insecurities. It's not necessary that we are not gaining anything from it, because, you know, sometimes we are. But they are making monetary profits. So that's something we should always take in account while getting influenced by it in any way.
Yeah, self-help is actually a billion-dollar industry. Like, it's, I think I'm wrong about it, but it makes annually something around, a self-help company makes it. Okay, I'm not sure about the number, so I'm not going to give any number right now. Basically, it's a billion-dollar industry. And the Instagram self-help or motivational pages that we see, they are an extension of it. And, you know, we see posts that say, know your worth, good vibes only, and you owe yourself the love you give so freely to other people. Note to self, don't judge yourself. Note to self, don't give up till you get it. Note to self, don't like yourself, don't like your job, quit it. Don't like your life, change it. So, you know, there are so many posts that exist in the world of self-help, in the Instagram's world of self-help and motivational quotes. And personally, I had a time where, you know, whenever I would feel low, I would go look for a motivational quote. And it would make me feel uplifted and it would make me feel good. So seeing such posts gives us a surge in dopamine. I'm sorry for saying dopamine. But and
You actually love that
we
word.
we feel uplifted and we feel motivated. But you know, if you have a overdose of it, you know, anything in excess can get toxic.
Yeah.
Same goes for positivity. If you get an overdose of it, if you consume it too much, you actually let yourself off the hook without actually doing the job.
Yeah.
You just saw a post that made you feel motivated and good, then you saw another post that made you feel the same way, and then another, and then another, and you did not do the work that you were supposed to do. And
Yeah, I read
sometimes,
somewhere like it gives us the satisfaction of actually doing that work. Reading and posting about it.
yeah, you mentioned this thing that I remember you saying it, that when we announce our goals to people that I'm gonna do this,
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, it actually gives us the high or the pleasure of actually doing it, and we end up
And we end
not
up
end
not doing it. Yeah.
and the other side of it is, you know, sometimes we are feeling anxious about things, and sometimes it's hard to keep going. You know, we don't always, you don't always achieve what you're set out to do, right?
Yeah, that's normal. That's totally
Yeah,
normal.
but then you see a post that says, don't quit, and then you feel bad about quitting. That's gonna
Yeah.
just increase your anxiety, and you know, and while I've mentioned anxiety, I would also like to mention a lot of these self-help posts, without intending to do so, they end up trivializing serious issues like anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
So, suppose there's a person who's just having a bad day, and there's someone who's actually clinically depressed, and they both see the same self-help post that says good vibes only. It might help the person who's just having a bad day, but what about the other person who's actually depressed? Their feelings will get trivialized, and they will not, they won't probably get the help that they need. Or, you know, are you getting what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, a lot of times, in fact, I think they make us deny our own fear and doubts and know what exactly we are feeling.
Yeah, and
Because
plus,
maybe this.
another thing that happens is we see a lot of posts about anxiety and depression, and we end up believing, oh, I have this too. Oh, I have this
Yeah.
too.
That's another flaw. Like we start, giving ourselves medical examinations based on
I
those.
personally know at least five people who would just be like, I have OCD regarding this. I
Yeah,
have OCD regarding
that was the term that was coming into my mind. OCD was the first.
Yeah.
And even depression, like OCD is still, not talked about much, but depression, lately we all know what depression is. And how big of a deal it is, but still we keep on saying, and we have posts like if the quietest, if you are quiet all the time, then you are more likely to be depressed. If you are happy all the time, then you are more likely to be depressed. And people who keep smiling, like you already mentioned that post, that kind of
See,
let's
that's
not
the thing.
get
We
into
don't
that.
really know how to talk about these things, and there's so much of bad information floating around.
Yeah, and these kind of information you're talking about, they also create a kind of herd mentality.
Yeah.
Like we have seen so many posts about quitting our 9-to-5 jobs and following our passion that now I think we are losing respect for people who are working hard at their 9-to-5.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
and in some case, I think a lot of people start feeling guilty for not having a passion of playing guitar or traveling the world. So that again is about like alienating certain kind of people
Yeah, yeah.
in order to get others, because while giving acceptance to people who want to quit their 9-to-5 jobs for following their passion, we end up alienating 9-to-5 workers.
Yeah, maybe
And
there are people who like their a routine life.
yeah, exactly. I do. I actually like to have a routine, a pattern. I don't want to break free from the routine life.
I personally hate routine life, but yeah, I get where you're
But
coming
we
from.
are coexisting. We
Yeah.
can coexist. We don't need, such
Tear
people,
each other down.
telling us that without knowing us that what we should do and what we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Anyways, so no, see, I feel the need to be accepted and to be validated by the society is natural, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it. What we actually need is to develop an objectivity towards these things and consume it with a sense of, healthy skepticism.
Yeah. Because the acceptance or validation that comes from one post can easily be taken away by other posts. And I when you mentioned healthy skepticism, I actually have a very good example of it. We saw a post right around when, the entire world started getting quarantined. There was this post that floated around that this quarantine will help you identify who are your real friends.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but shortly thereafter, there was another post floating around that was a comment upon this post, which said that this is a
This is
self-centered
pandemic.
behavior. Yeah, it's a pandemic and it's not.
It's a pandemic and it's not a loyalty test, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So calling out that self-centeredness, and I really like that. I like this rise of healthy skepticism, that there's an
And
undercurrent of
making
healthy
it.
skepticism nowadays, and I personally am hopeful because we cannot change the algorithm. We cannot change the way algorithm works, and we cannot do much about our cognitive biases, and but we can change, like by being aware of things, like by being aware of how our brain works, by being aware of how the algorithm works, we can change how to see and interpret things and decide the importance of things and create a balance between our digital and non-digital lives.
And we should actually learn to do it because nobody's gonna an industry is not gonna do it for us.
Yeah,
We
it's
have
up
to do
to
it.
us
It's up to
to create
us
healthy
to create.
relationships and a healthy self-image.
Yeah, and a real life support system to fall
Yeah,
back.
yeah. You know, the problems that we mentioned, the seeking external validation on social media and trivialization of mental issues. It all happens because we don't have a very good real life support system. When we will
Yeah.
cultivate one, then we won't rely on these external mediums so much. So, yeah.
I agree. It's actually a little tough for us to have one, like for not everyone can, but we can at least try and it starts from us. Like if I don't have it, I can be there for someone
Yeah.
and maybe that will come back to me or something.
Yeah, for sure. And a great first step would be, as you said, a rise in healthy skepticism.
Yeah,
Yeah.
getting it. Okay, so I think we talked enough about this topic.
Meet it.
So yeah, what I was saying, yeah, I want to end this on this note that let's not get so involved in being a part of the group that's agreeing to a particular post. We see that we forget our own identities that are particular to us and our personal experiences. So yeah, now I think I've concluded.
Yeah,
Now I'm happy.
we should, we should go beyond social media, and it's okay to use it as a source of information to chat with friends, but we should not necessarily enter a space so huge that we cannot keep an overview. And if we
Yeah,
do choose
and
to
get
enter that
lost.
space, then we have to be more careful and more aware of how much of ourselves are we allowing into that space.
We should always try to, keep maintaining our individuality.
Yeah.
That's, I think that's the basic rule.
Yeah, okay. So that's where we're gonna end it.
Yeah.
Thank you
Thank
for listening. Thank you for
you.
listening to us patiently.
And stay tuned and keep listening to That's What She Said with Cheddar and Bree.
And
Thank
we'll
you.
see you again with
In
our
our next topic that we haven't yet decided.
so.